Continue to look at God's Word. The scripture reading today is taken from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I'll invite Reverend Luke to introduce the speaker today.
It is a joy to have Brother Charles to minister to us today from the Word of God. And really, it is not the first time that he's sharing, but it is the first time that he's preaching to us. He is our mission partner, if you do not already know, right? And we actually studied at the same time in Singapore Bible College, and along with his wife, Sister Hong Yen, who is not able to be here today because she's involved in ministry in another church. And that was some 20 years ago. Yes, yeah, you know, we share some classes together, and both Brother Charles and Sister Hong Yen became our partners in the work of missions in April last year. Right, they are currently serving under Wycliffe Singapore. Prior to that, they were out in the field in Southeast Asia for 13 years. Yes, right. Brother Charles is presently the executive director, and he oversees the Wycliffe office. So without further ado, I will hand the time over to Brother Charles.
Good morning, Church. So you have known that I've known Reverend Luke for quite a number of years. I may look young, but I'm not young. I also know one of our pastors, Pastor Timothy. We grew up together in Bali Christian Church, and I've served with him for many years together. I'm so glad that he's now serving with you. We want to thank Grace Church for your partnership with Wycliffe Singapore. It has been a privilege to serve alongside Grace Church in various endeavors for so many years, and it's certainly a privilege to be able to share God's word with you today. Today is Children's Day. I would like to wish all the children a blessed Children's Day, and to all the P6ers, 加油, okay? Or rather, I would say to all the parents of the P6ers, 加油 too. Okay, it's going to be one more week over soon, very fast. One primary school boy became an internet sensation this September in a heartwarming video shared on Instagram. This boy, wearing a school uniform, showed kindness to strangers by using his umbrella to shelter alighting passengers at a bus stop at his own initiative. Instead of they getting wet, he sheltered them, he got wet himself. So according to the report, he stayed in that position until the last passenger has alighted from the bus, and the door closed. This video got 18,000 likes and was featured on many media platforms. The people he helped thanked him for his kindness, and net citizens were full of praise of this small young boy. One commented, "He himself was drenched, but he never stopped to shelter others. This is truly a well brought up boy. I would be so proud of him as a parent." I too am proud of him when I read the article. I'm sure his parents would have been immensely proud of him. Well done to the parents. Today is children of today is our next generation, but the challenge today is that our children are being told to embrace no absolute set of moral principles and told to accept the abnormal and unbiblical choices. And these values are pounded daily through social media, TV, music, movies, and YouTube. The 21st century is unquestionably a changing world, and children and Christian parents are increasingly finding it a challenge to raise godly children in a changing, ungodly world. Let's turn a lot in prayer, shall we? Almighty God, in reading of the scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditation of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The text for today is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. 2 Timothy introduces Paul's last letter in the New Testament. The letter opens with many of Paul's customary phrases of greetings. This greeting also clearly identifies Timothy as the letter's intended audience. Timothy is often mentioned in the New Testament as one of Paul's closest and most loyal friends. In fact, the relationship between Paul and Timothy is more than just friends, but rather a spiritual father-son relationship. Their relationship has grown to the extent that Paul referred to his young protege as my true son in the faith, like in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. At the point of writing this letter, Paul was locked up in jail, making this possibly his last chance to send a written message to his spiritual son. Here in this letter, Paul recaps how Timothy served faithfully with Paul and Paul's unceasing prayer for Timothy. Unlike this New Living Translation version of Paul's writings to Timothy, he says, "I thank God for you. I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again." Paul was writing in a very personal and genuine capacity. Paul then focuses on two primary ideas. First, he reminds Timothy of how his family brought him up in the faith. He reminded Timothy that it is his background in the faith that gave him the courage to stand fast against hard times, in verses 5 to 6. Second, Paul's charge to Timothy was to take courage, be not ashamed to defend the truth of the gospel message, and take care not to lose his passion for ministry. Like verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Verse 8, "So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news." Such beautiful words of love and encouragement to be faithful to the gospel. Reading from this, we can sense that Timothy is very endearing to Paul. The relationship between Paul and Timothy is a classic example of Christian mentoring and discipleship. Paul was teaching his protege, his next generation, how to prepare for ministry in a decadent world, a society of moral corruption and cultural decline. Paul was preparing Timothy, his next generation, for a changing world. And this brings us to the question of today's topic, how to raise the next generation for a changing world. First, we need to know who are the next generation and how they respond to the changing world. What do we mean by next generation or the next gen as we know it? Next gen was typically people below the age of 40. Okay, members of the millennial generation were born between 1980s and 1994, which by now they will have been 29 to 43 years old today. Generation Z, also known as Zoomers, encompass those born between 1995 to 2009. Oh, I missed out one, is the millennial generation, 1980s to 1994, making them 29 to 43, which I mentioned, right? And Generation Z, 95 to 2009, and Alpha, which actually will be the young generation, 13 years and below. So for curiosity's sake, by a show of hands, who among you here in this service belongs to the boomers and older generation? Okay, that is born before 1964. Can we have a show of hands? Okay, Elder Johnny Pang is right. Okay, I see that. And Generation Z, X generation. Okay, 65 to 1980s. Okay, quite a number of us here, me included. And the millennials, the X generation Y. Okay, not too many. The Generation Z, the Zoomers. We do have some Zoomers here. And Generation Alpha. Any Generation Alpha here? Okay, they shouldn't be here, they should be at the study school. Okay. Yeah, so we have a good mix of generations over here in this service. Broadly speaking, we are actually looking at the next gen as the millennials and the Generation Z. Okay, Gen Z. According to some critics, okay, they are called the strawberry generation. Okay, the generation that are overprotected by their parents, the generation that cannot withstand social pressure, the generation that are spoiled, selfish, sluggish in work. True or not? Okay, basically, every generation has its own definition and category. Without a doubt, every generation complains about the next generation. And every generation thinks it has it harder than anyone else. Consulting firms, think tank groups, and companies like Pew Research, McKinsey, Deloitte, PwC, have done extensive research on each generation cohorts. The objective was to understand how different formative experiences, such as world events and technological, economic, and social shifts, interact with the life cycle and aging process to shape people's view of the world. Before coming into full-time ministry, I was working in the IT industry as systems engineer, and I was sent to service servers and computers of this company called Pepsi Cola. I learned from one of the top marketing executives that Pepsi researched that the next generation is the key to their marketing strategy. It's not just the drink, but the target audience. I also remember Pepsi's campaigns. Okay, for those who remember, in 1985, was the choice of the new generation. Right? This still rings me very clearly to me, choice of the new generation in the 80s. And in 2018, Pepsi for every generation. Okay, Pepsi for every generation was in 2018, was curated to link between music and bringing back memories, reminding fans of all ages to unleash their youthful spirit and live life to the fullest. The greatest of music industry, okay, of history, including King of Pop, Michael Jackson, Ray Charles, and Britney Spears, were engaged to affront the limited edition of Pepsi cans. At a Super Bowl commercial in 2018, Britney Spears, along with Cindy Crawford, were among other famous celebrities being featured. This is the marketing formula of Pepsi Cola, focusing on the next gen, who were the future workforce and spenders. The world knows who is their target audience, the next generation. How much more, as a church, we need to be aware of the impact of the world to our next generation. So what are the key events that have shaped the next generation? And what is the world of the millennials and Gen Zs? From a young age, many millennial and Gen Z grew up in a period of unrest and uncertainty coupled with optimism for the future. Disruption and change have been the norm. Here are some key events that shape the millennials and Gen Z. Of course, we are always remember of September 11th. It happened in 2001. Especially for the millennials, in the aftermath of 9/11, the millennials were old enough to remember, young enough to be deeply impacted by the ensuing terrorism and war on terror. The rise of social media and tech revolution in the 2000s. This generation of millennials and Gen Z don't remember a world without smartphones. This generation is all about multimedia and digital technology. They were born with social networks and devices like smartphones and tablets with an instant internet connection. Facebook is for Gen X, like me, okay? TikTok, Snapchat, and Instagram are for the next gen. Okay, the millennials, Gen Z, and Gen Alpha. Gen Z and Alpha especially are digital natives, as they are literally born in the digital age. Gen Z stands out in views on climate change, race, and the role of government. When it comes to views on political issues, younger generations have constantly held more liberal views than older generations. The major disruption in the last 4 years is the COVID pandemic and the war in Ukraine. This unprecedented global and regional crisis is contributing to the distress of Gen Z. A new McKinsey Health Institute survey showed that 47% of Gen Z respondents report poor and worsening mental health than those in other generations due to global climate change, war in Ukraine, and COVID-19. Now that we know who are the next gen and the world that they were brought up in that shaped them, next we need to understand the next generation, in particular the millennials and Gen Z. At last year's Microsoft Singapore's members conference, two of our young members in their early 30s led us through a session on this topic called Next Gen Task Force. This session was to help Wycliffe members who were majority senior, above 50 years and above. Yes, we do have an aging population in our organization, and many agencies, in fact. So as to better understanding the concerns and issues faced by the next gen, so that as a mission agency, we can regroup and recalibrate for the millennials and Gen Z to join us in missions. Here are the findings to the next generation. Okay, to the next gen, everything is volatile, hence we need to be open to change. The world events which we have just seen have shaped the thinking of the next gen. These events lead them to believe that everything is uncertain. We, including all generation, have to be open to change, be flexible. There's no such thing as this is the way it always been. To the next gen, authorities can fail not to be trusted blindly. The words of the presenter of the lady, she says, I have read and seen of generation of leadership failures in politics and even in church. It's not that we don't want to submit to authority, but that we will not blindly follow without questions. Trust for our generation is built more on relationship than on position, and built on integrity in the person's life that we see. If words and actions don't match, don't tell me I should do it because you said so. To the next gen, they place a greater emphasis on collaboration. The next gen desires to move from silos to integration, have more collaboration. In the words of this young lady too, the last thing millennials want to hear is that you must do this way. Show us the options, give us the honors, pros and cons. Pray with us as we make decisions and seek God's will for our lives. That is called growing in wisdom. Don't be like, I'm wiser, so follow my way. So the next gen does not want to be consumers, they want to be contributors. And to the next gen, they desire authentic community. Strangely enough, due to the rise of social media, the next gen truly desire authentic community. Appreciation for empowerment. The next gen desires for empowerment through mentoring. Simply journeying, mentoring, empowering them. And lastly, search for meaning and purposes. The next gen desires to search for meaning and for purpose. The third and final point, how do we raise the next generation for us for such a time as this? World Vision partnered with the Barna Group to conduct a global study called The Connected Generation. Through interviews with more than 15,000 adults aged 18 to 15, in 25 countries, including Singapore, asking them about what values are millennials and next gen, Gen Z, bringing in with them into adulthood. What kind of world are they already building? What is their relationship to faith? Through the Connected Generation Project, pastors and faith leaders will be equipped not only to better understanding the 18-year-old to 35-year-olds around the world, but truly to partner with them in discipleship and support them in their callings. This is a long report, and I'll just focus on the section on spirituality and church for the Connected Generation. Looking at the survey results of Singapore, 57% polled stating they attend church weekly. And a good 96% indicated that their faith is very important in their life today. Okay? And differentiating the four types of Singapore Christians, they break it out into the prodigals, the nomads, the habitual churchgoers, and resilient disciples. The habitual churchgoers are actually at 38%, and the resilient disciples are at 22%. So what are they? So habitual churchgoers, the habitual Christians, okay, are identified as Christians, regularly attend the church, but as mere churchgoers, they do not qualify as resilient. As resilient Christians, they are Christians, attend church regularly, and they are deeply engaged with their faith beyond church services. They're not mere churchgoers. They stand at 22%. How do we move habitual churchgoers to resilient discipleship? Let's look at the top three reasons why they attend church. Okay, for the resilient disciples, it's because they want to know about God. 80%, very strong. They want to grow in their faith. They seek wisdom on how to live faithfully. Okay, that's about 63%. For the habitual ones, for the habitual goers, it's quite low. Okay, in the mid-range, 55%, 64%, and 36%. On the flip side of the resilient disciples, that they felt missing was that there are little opportunities to fight injustice and oppression. There are limited opportunities to connect with older generations. They wish to have regular meeting with a mentor. So you can see, basically, for the resident disciples, they felt that in church, they don't have the opportunity to fight injustice and oppression. They want to be connected with older generation and be mentored. The survey showed a high percentage of resilient disciples identified that scripture and prayer are the foundation of resilience. So at least once a month, he or she will pray on their own. Okay, hope it's big enough for you, see. Read the scripture on their own, pray with others. Tithe, tell others about their faith, and attend a small group or Bible study group. So prayer and scripture reading is very important for them. The role of the church is significant in relating to the connected generation. The church has done well, as the resilient disciple said, I'm given real chances to contribute to my church. I have learned what it feels like to be part of a team at church, and my church has helped me better understand my purpose in life. Whereas the church, according to them, has not done so well is that there was no adult mentor, okay? And there was limited access to leadership training, and there was no help to better live out their faith in the workplace. So this is the findings from this Barna report. Without a doubt, spiritual mentorship is the key to develop resilient disciples. 70% strongly agreed, okay, to be where they are spiritually. There is someone in their lives who encourages him or her to grow spiritually, to be faithful Christ followers. Coming back to the scripture passage, if Timothy would have been born or alive today, he would have been a category of the next gen or connected generation. In 1 Timothy 4:12, Timothy was referred as a youth. This means that he was probably younger than 40 when he received this letter. Scholars believe Timothy received the second epistle when he was about 40 years of age. Timothy is definitely in the category of a resilient disciple. What makes Timothy to be a resilient disciple? Okay, first of all, we know that his convictions would have been from God's word, which gave him inner stability at a young age. His confidence would have been nurtured by three good sources of learning. Okay, from church would be from his good mentor, disciple Paul. And from the family, he had a good godly mother and grandmother. Paul was Timothy's greatest teacher mentor because the apostle had a comprehensive understanding of the Hebrew scriptures as well as the knowledge he received personally from Jesus Christ following his redemption. Paul's investment in Timothy's life while he was still young paid off. Paul's mentoring was intentional and showed his young disciple the full realities of ministry, knowing that learning to suffer was part of Timothy's preparation. His mother Eunice and grandmother Lois had taught Timothy the scriptures from young. Perhaps Lois and Eunice took Solomon's advice. In Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The impact on Timothy was great and evident as Paul acknowledged these two godly ladies' contribution to Timothy's strong faith. Lois and Timothy and Eunice's investment in Timothy's life while he was still young really paid off. This is my mother. She passed away last year on September 11th. My wife and I have served in the mission field about 13 years. And actually, I come join Wycliffe in total 22 years. All these years, my mother was not keen for me to be a missionary and be based overseas. When I told her we were preparing to go full-time to missions, she was not happy. She thought that being a missionary is like being a beggar, asking people for financial support, and living on hand-me-down clothes. That was her impression of a missionary. Like all parents, she was concerned for her children's future and wished that for her children to get a good paying job, get married well, have a BTO or private property, right? If one can afford it, and have kids. My mom has these same concerns. Each time I come back to Singapore for a visit, I'll remind her that God took care of us, that we have been sufficiently provided and even put on weight. Okay, in Cantonese, I will tell her, "Mo chi mo lan." Okay. During the funeral, I was told by her close friends that how she longed for me to be back. We returned to Singapore in 2018, based on the advice of our church, because both my mother and my mother-in-law's health was deteriorating. It was a good advice, as both my mother and my wife and I were able to spend good time with our mothers and doing our duty as children to take them to doctors and spending more time with them, family occasions, things like this. In one of our conversations before my mother's dementia got worse, she told me that when I was born, she prayed and dedicated me to God for His service. When she told me that, I was surprised. And I asked her, "Then what are you complaining? You dedicate me to God there, and yet you are reluctant for me to go." She did not reply, but just smiled sheepishly. I believe she knew we are in God's hands, and she has been in prayers for us since then, and she has released me and my wife for God's service. My mother has, it's not like Lois or Eunice. She didn't spend the time reading God's word with me. She just brought me to church, outsourced me to church to take care of my spiritual growth. And by the grace of God, we grew well, me and my brother. But I thank God that she prayed this prayer for me, that she released me for God's service. In conclusion, the next generation is a formidable force, actively shaping the future of our workplaces, media, politics, arts, neighborhoods, and even the churches too. We need the next generation to be resilient disciples for a changing world. We learn from the account of Paul and Timothy that growing resilient disciples means to work side by side for God's kingdom, encouraging, providing spiritual mentorship, and sharing a common burden for the lost world. The important roles of parents and spiritual parents, like Paul, and the church cannot be understated. We must be intentional in taking the step to shape and raise the next generation of resilient disciples. If we do not do it, the world will do it. What is our response today? I'd like to address to two groups of people. The first group are the older generation. That will be grandparents, parents, and spiritual parents. Yeah. Who are the spiritual parents? Okay, you do mentoring, do discipleship, but also referring to those who are singles and to those who couples who don't have kids, like me and my wife. I can play the role of a spiritual parent. What are some ways God is calling you to disciple those that are younger than you? Whom can you release for God's service? Pray for one or two names when you could mentor and disciple. These are questions for the older generation. As for the younger generation, how can you be humble, teachable, and be unashamed in sharing the gospel message in this current world? Pray also for one or two mentors who could journey with you in your Christian life. So I'd like you to spend some time praying and pondering about this as I invite the worship team up for the closing song. Thank you.